Yeah, Cody's just slightly preoccupied. So I was planning this morning on just inviting the Holy Spirit to join us. Yeah, I'd really like to just feel that presence this morning. So what I'd like to do, I'd just like to take maybe 5 minutes, if that, and just have just a little bit of quiet time where I'd really like each one of you, just anything that's weighing on your heart, anything that's just inside of you that's bothering you, give it over to God. The more you let out of here, the more room there is for the Holy Spirit to fill you. So just think of that, and think of any of that junk that just needs to come out. And at this point in time, just give it over to Him. So let's just take 5 minutes, think about things, and just release them to God.
Thank you.
And now invite the ushers to come forward for the offerings.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that we can meet together, worship you, lift you up. We thank you for being in our presence today. Father, open our eyes to see what you want to do. Open our ears to hear what you want to say to us. Encourage us to do what you want us to do. We also take this time to say thank you for the many gifts you've given us, the time, the talents, the abilities you've given us, but you've also given us physical possessions, and we offer a portion back to you for the work of the church, as well as our ministries, the community outreach and the youth ministries. Father, be with us today as we continue to seek your face and wish to honor and glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
To
pray. So, Father, we thank you for this time this morning just to praise you, worship you. Just ask that you give Tony all the words that he needs this morning. Just fill us with anything from you. You guide all this. Help us understand anything that we need to truly understand. And just help us have a good rest of the day as well, Father. So we just pray all this to you in Jesus' name.
Good morning. It's time for our children's message. Thank you, Brian and John, for going with the flow. Miles came to me and said, "Hey, do you have a PowerPoint?" And I went, "Oh, I forgot to upload it." And then I remembered why I forgot to upload it. My password wasn't working, so I had to reset everything and got it uploaded. So I appreciate Miles being in charge and coming to me and saying, "Hey, you normally have this, you forgot it. Do you have that?" So, well, good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good. Well, this morning we're going to talk about forest fires. You know, when it gets hot and dry out, and it gets windy, and there could be lightning storms that start forest fires, or maybe someone didn't take care of a campfire they had, and they started a forest fire. But did you know that forest fires are actually good for the forest? Yeah, they actually are, unless they get too hot, and then they can be destructive and destroy everything. But a small forest fire will go through and burn off all the brush and the leaves, and it will actually allow the trees to grow, new trees to grow. It gets rid of the leaves, the sunlight can hit the soil, and the seeds can fall right on the dirt, and they can grow, and the ashes from the fire actually make the soil fertile, and so new trees can really grow. And you can see what happens after a forest fire. All these new trees are growing. This is the lodgepole pine. It needs the heat of the fire to actually reproduce. See that orange stuff in there? That's resin. And so that resin holds the seeds. And once that resin gets hot, it melts away and the seeds are actually able to fall out and fall on the ground, and new trees are able to grow. So this tree needs the fire to grow. Here's another picture of a closed pine cone and an open one where the seeds are able to fall out and land on the fresh soil, and new trees are able to grow. And the forest has new life in it. Even though something that seemed destructive came through, the forest has new life in it. And Jesus, he gave us new life. Something bad happened to him. He went to the cross and he died for us, and he was raised again. And we celebrate that time at Easter, which is coming up. And Jesus did that for us, to forgive us of our sins so that we can have new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away, and see, the new has come." Just like that fire renewed the forest, making way for new trees and plants to grow, when we have Jesus into our hearts, he renews us. He changes us and he makes us new so that we can grow, just like that fresh forest. So when we have Jesus in our hearts as our Lord and Savior, he changes us. And remember that he makes us new. So I'd like to pray for you guys And then you can have a snack and head back to your seat. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for these children. Pour a blessing upon them. I pray that you would protect them and draw each one to you. And I just pray that they would come to know you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. The snack's right over there. You may have one and head back to your seat. There's several different stuff in there. Too many decisions, they're not sure what to get. Well, good morning again. Well, I should say not again. Well, good morning, because I was supposed to say good morning earlier, but I had a technology malfunction. Well, it wasn't really the technology, it was more myself than anything. Last Sunday, we were away on our leadership team retreat. We were truly blessed in this time of refreshment and encouragement. I'd just like to thank the PCRC for all of the hard work that they did. Teresa and I truly appreciate that. It was a wonderful time. And to you as a congregation, they truly were an extension of you serving us. It was as if you were there together serving us. We relaxed, we played games. Some people stayed up till really early in the morning putting puzzles together. We ate way too much. We laughed regularly. It was a good time. To the services planning committee, I just want to thank you for your role on Sunday morning. We joined in via the live stream, and we were so blessed. I'd like to thank Keith and Derek, Donna, Jeff, Emma, and Len, who shared. Just thank you for sharing. And I'd like to thank all of you who wrote responses. I would appreciate them very much. It builds us up as a congregation when we can share what God is doing in our lives. And as I watched the live stream, it was more than just watching the live stream. We were truly joining in as a fellowship. My heart and my soul was connected to you as we were worshiping together. It wasn't just watching something. We were truly worshiping along with you. To those who do the live stream, run the cameras, do sound, and do the slides, I appreciate everything that you do. And you are connecting people to us as a body of Christ in ways that you may never know. And there's many people who appreciate what you do. So thank you for what you do. It is appreciated. Even though sometimes it feels like, I got to do this again. You're really drawing people in to the body of Christ. As I was joining in, watching the live stream, God was just pouring into me. You were bringing up your gifts, consecrating them to God, and sticking them on the wooden church that was up here. And God was just pouring His Holy Spirit into me, pouring His love into me. And He was showing me that you are my sheep. He has called me to this time and this place, and that my love for you is beyond anything that you can imagine. You'll never know how much I truly care about each one of you. I may have doubts about myself, about my abilities, but I don't doubt God. I don't doubt His abilities, and I don't doubt His call on me. And just hearing how God was working in your lives, it filled me with this abundant joy. I was and am so blessed by what I saw last week. God was just giving me this small glimpse of His love that He has for us. And I have that love for you. He was showing me that you're my sheep and that I care about you. And it was truly a blessing. to join in with you in worship of God, because God is good. Someone made the comment that we need to go away more often, because it was such a blessing to see you use your gifts and your talents and use them for God. So maybe we need to go away more often, or maybe we just need to make more space for you as a congregation to share what God is doing in your lives, because I believe that builds up the entire body of Christ. Because when we use our gifts, it is powerful. So we're going to have a couple messages leading up to Good Friday and Easter. We're going to focus on preparation for that. And this morning, this is the title of our lesson, or our message: Christ Among Us, the New Covenant. God is a covenant God. When he tells us he will do something, he follows through every time. A covenant is a legal binding promise. We would normally go to a lawyer and fill out a contract and have both parties sign that, and that's what we think of as a legal binding agreement. Maybe we think of the marriage covenant. You say your vows to your almost spouse before God and witnesses, and you make a covenant. There's some other ways that we see covenants being made in Scripture. Ruth 4:7 gives us an example of a covenant. Boaz goes to the town gate and he has 10 elders sit and witness the redemption of the property and widow, Ruth. And this is what they did in Ruth chapter 4, verse 7. At an earlier period in Israel, a man removed his sandal and gave it to the other party in order to make any matter legally binding concerning the right of redemption or the exchange of property. This was the method of legally binding a transaction in Israel. So you would gather the leaders around you, and you would take off your sandal and hand it to the other party. It's kind of a weird way to make a covenant. But God has made covenants with man at many different times in history. Most of the covenants that God makes points us to Jesus. We can look at through those covenants and we can see God pointing us to Jesus. God made a covenant with Noah that his family would be safe with all the animals in the ark. And after the flood, God gives another covenant that he made to Noah and to us, saying that he would not flood the entire world, wiping out the earth and all its living creatures again. And God gave us the symbol of the rainbow that we see in the sky after storms, or when we look at the sun and there's a cloud there, we can see a rainbow. We can see God's promise and his covenant. It's evidence of what God is promising, that he would not destroy the earth again by a flood. The covenant that God gave to Abram and Lot, they separate. Lot moves near Sodom and Abram moves near Hebron. Lot is captured when the armies of the plain, they march up against the kings of the plain, and Abram rescues Lot and his family. And this happens right after that in Genesis 15. 1 to 7. After these events, after Lot was rescued by Abram, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. But Abram said, Lord God, what can you give me since I am childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Abram continued, look, you have given me no offspring, so a slave born in my house will be my heir. Now the word of the Lord came to him, this one will not be your heir. Instead, one who comes from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look at the sky, count the stars if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, your offspring will be that numerous. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. God promised Abram that his offspring would be as numerous as the stars in the sky, and that he would give them the promised land, the land that he was in, where God had directed him to go. And we can see from this chapter that God had fulfilled part of the promise when the children of Israel came out of Egypt after God judged the Egyptians with the plagues and they were wandering in the desert. They entered the promised land. At that point, Abram's descendants were not as numerous as the stars in the sky. So the full part of that promise is not complete yet. Abram asked God, how will I know what you said will come true? To confirm this promise, God tells Abram to take some animals, and it tells us in verse 9, he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old cow, a 3-year-old female goat, and a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He took these animals, cut them in half, and lay each half opposite of each other. And normally what would happen is both parties would walk down the middle, confirming the oath that they just made. It was known as a blood oath because of the blood of the animals was the seal to that covenant. It was the binding part of that oath. The animals were cut in half except for the birds, and Abram was waiting for God to show up so he could travel down the middle with him. And at sunset, Abram fell asleep, and God went down the middle without Abram. God was demonstrating that his promise will be fulfilled with or without Abram. God was making a promise, and that he is going to fulfill it. Moving forward to Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 to 8. And this is the nation of Israel. They are gathered around the mountain of Mount Sinai. Now, if you will carefully listen to me and keep my covenant, you will be my own possession out of all the peoples. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be my kingdom of priests and my holy nation. These are the words that you are to say to the Israelites. After Moses came back down, he summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words that the Lord had commanded him. Then all the people responded together, we will do all the Lord has spoken. So Moses brought the people's word back to God. God gives Moses a new covenant. Moses receives the Ten Commandments along with all the rules and regulations that we see in Exodus and Leviticus. God is telling them that if they listen to him, they will be his people, they will be set apart, they will be a holy nation. And we can look at Scripture and we know that they struggled in doing God's will, and they were thrown out of the promised land and exiled, and they were brought back in, and God is still faithful in his covenant even when man is not. 2 Samuel 7, God makes a covenant with David. David wanted to build a house for God, and Nathan says, go ahead. And Nathan leaves David's presence, and God speaks to Nathan, and Nathan has to go back to David and say, wait a minute. God has a different plan for you. And Nathan, the prophet, tells David and us what God told him in 2 Samuel 7, 11 to 17. Ever since the day I ordered judges to be over my people Israel, I will give you rest from I will give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you, the Lord himself will make a house for you. When your time comes and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up after you your descendants who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will discipline him with the rod of men and the blows from mortals. But my faithful love will never leave him, as it did when I removed it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and kingdom will endure before me forever, and your throne will be established forever. Nathan reported all these words and this entire vision to David. David's son will be the next king. We know that's Solomon. And he built a house for God. This came true. God was fulfilling his promises. But then God goes even farther. God says that David's house and his kingdom will endure before me forever, and your throne will be established forever. So we're going to look at Isaiah 9, 6 to 7. For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast, and its prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to be established and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. Isaiah is prophesying that God is going to send his son Jesus to us and that he will sit on the throne of David forever, fulfilling the covenant that God has made with David. In Matthew chapter 1, we have the genealogy of Jesus, proving that Jesus, the Messiah, is of the line of David. Again, showing the fulfillment of God's covenants. When God makes a covenant, he honors it. The nation of Israel had to bring animal sacrifices, and the blood of the animal that was poured out atoned for their sin. Under the new covenant that Jesus made for us, his sacrifice of going to the cross and dying and rising again, overcoming sin and death, atoning for all of humanity's sin. It's amazing what God has promised and done for us. Luke 22:14-23. When the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. Then he said to them, I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance for me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But look, the hand of the one betraying me is sitting at the table with me, for the Son of Man will go away as it has been determined, but woe to the man by whom he is betrayed. So they began to argue among themselves which of them it could be who was going to do it. Jesus tells us that he is pouring out his blood, making a new covenant, not just for his disciples and the nation of Israel, but for us. He is making a new covenant with us. The disciples didn't understand what Jesus was doing in that moment and what he was about to do and what he was about to suffer and go through. Jesus' body was going to be broken. His blood was going to be poured out as an eternal covenant for us. Every time we participate in communion, we are recognizing and affirming the covenant that Jesus made for each one of us. We don't have to go to a priest and have an animal sacrifice and have that blood cover our sins. We can go directly to our high priest, Jesus, and ask him for forgiveness of our sins, because his blood paid the price once and for all. Hebrews 9, 11 to 15. But Christ has appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, in the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not to be made with hands, that is, not of this creation. He entered the most holy place once for all time, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a young cow sprinkling those who are defiled sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse our consciousness from dead works so that we can serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance, because a death has taken place for redemption from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. Our lives are changed under this new covenant because of what Jesus has done for us. In Matthew 27, right after Jesus' death, the curtain in the temple is torn from top to bottom. This was a separation between God and man, except for the high priest. He was the only one allowed to go into this area. But we have direct access to God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit that is living in us. There is no separation where only that select person can go. Jesus is our high priest. Since God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are one, we have this direct connection to God. We live each day under this new covenant that was bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. Does this change your perspective of Easter? God has made an everlasting covenant with us, and it cannot be broken. We can see in God's word that he honors every covenant that he makes, and it is fulfilled. Sure, we can reject Jesus, and we can walk away from him, or we can accept Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, and we can enter into that new covenant with him. When Jesus returns, he will bring those who believe in him and who have accepted him as their Lord and Savior through this covenant into his eternal kingdom. But those who have not, those who have rejected him, will be cast out for eternity, separated from God, facing judgment. So as Easter draws closer, take time to think about the covenant that God has given us. Think about the sacrifice that Jesus has made for us, going to the cross, dying for our sins. Think about that bread that was broken, Jesus' body that was broken. And think about the cup, his blood that was poured out for us. Take time to dig into that and seek God and press into him, not just as we approach Easter, but do that each day. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for the new covenant that you have given us in Jesus. Thank you for making a way for us to be with you for eternity. Give us a new realization of what you have done for us. Help us to know what the cost was for this covenant. Help us to know how much you love us. Watch over us in this coming week, and as we approach Easter, show us on a deeper level who you are and how much you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite the worship team forward for the closing song. I have one quick announcement. I could use a couple more volunteers to help serve breakfast on Easter Sunday morning. So if you'd be willing to do that, please come see me. So will you stand for this parting benediction? From Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. To him, to whom be the glory forever and ever. God bless you. You're dismissed.